My name is Chandler Gould. I'm the Senior Vice President of Programs at the National Farmers Union.
Let's start off with talking about the WTO announcement of $1 billion in retaliatory that has now been allowed. What does this mean for our United States producers?
Well, in general, what it means is, first of all, Canada and Mexico came in asking for $3 billion, you know, trying to scare our U.S. Congress into repealing a consumer-friendly law that told them where their food came from, and WTO has come back with about a third of that amount. So what is next is on December 18th, the dispute settlement body will come together at the World Trade Organization. Canada and Mexico will submit products, not necessarily just agriculture, but things that they want to place tariffs on that would add up to the approximately $1 billion in retaliation that the WTO has granted them. So that's the next step. However, this could all be avoided if appropriate language is included in the omnibus bill, which needs to pass to fund the government predominantly by the end of this week, but most likely will be pushed next week.
All right. And you tapped in on a couple of things there that I want to take down and explain a little bit further if we can.
Sure.
Let's start off with, you mentioned that this is a consumer issue too, especially this day and age when everybody wants to know everything about their food. We're talking about telling people where their meat is coming from. Is that right?
That's exactly right. This is really a consumer law that has been trumped or repealed by a third-party international organization. The World Trade Organization has come in to the United States, which is a sovereign country, and has said to us that we, the United States, do not have the right to tell our consumers where their food is coming from and that we need to remove these labels or be faced with tariff retaliation from Canada and Mexico. That is basically what has happened, as our sovereign rights have been trampled on by the World Trade Organization, and we now will have to deny our consumers information that we know that they want.
Looking at another angle now, you mentioned that these tariffs that can now be brought on against American goods, we're not talking about just meat, so it's not an eye for an eye, let's say, but in California especially, we have a lot of specialty crop producers, we're a specialty crop state, so I noticed in the WTO's decision that these tariffs can also be brought against a lot of our fruit and nut exports as well.
So you are correct. The tariff retaliations don't even have to be on agriculture. It could be on manufacturing. It could be on processed food. It could be on textiles. It can be on anything that adds up to that number. It didn't even have to stay within the agriculture realms, which is a reason why I can understand why California producers and California companies would be concerned. But the good thing is there is a solution that's already been proposed in the United States Senate. Senator Hovind and Stabenow have introduced language that if it was put into the omnibus bill would make cool voluntary, but would maintain that integrity of the A label, where if it says product of USA, you would know that that meat was born, raised, and harvested in the United States. And what's even more unfortunate is both California Senators Boxer and Feinstein have written letters to their leadership asking that the entire law of country of origin labeling be fully repealed, again, denying the consumers this information.
And there are a lot of agricultural groups that agree with them on repealing it. Cool now. So why does NFU say that's not the right way to go about it? Let's make it voluntary.
So the WTO ruling only ruled against two things. It ruled on whole cuts of beef and whole cuts of pork. So if we come back with what the Hovind-Stabenow bill does, and we make voluntary cool on whole cuts of pork, so let's say a pork loin or a whole cut of beef of T-bone, and make that voluntary, we would then be WTO compliant. And then should a packer or food company choose to use this A label, if we were to insert this language, then the criteria of the animal being born, raised, and harvested would still have to be applicable to maintain the integrity of that A label. And the reason that's important, let me explain that. 10 years ago, before we really had any type of cool program in place, what was happening was multinational meat packers were going to the USDA getting a process verified label that basically said if the animal was slaughtered in the United States or was slaughtered in the United States, it was a product of the United States. And they've been deceiving the consumer for decades. So when consumers were going to the grocery store thinking this is a product of the USA, really that animal could have come from Mexico, it could have come from Canada, it could have been, if it was ground meat, it could have been blended with beef from several other countries. So they've been deceiving the consumer for decades, and that's why it's so important that we maintain that integrity of the A label that says product of the USA means born, raised, and harvested in the United States.
So why is it, from a consumer standpoint again, why is it important to know where that meat was born and raised versus just where it was slaughtered?
Well, think about it. I mean, every country has different types of environmental and labor standards and food safety standards. And the two countries, you have to remember, was it Canada and Mexico were the main two countries that participated in this case, but several other countries signed on. And so here's a prime example. Most people don't know right now that there are five processing plants in China seeking certification to process poultry so they can ship it to the United States. The WTO didn't even find the WTO case had nothing to do with chicken, but yet the repeal bill that has come out of the House of Representatives and the repeal bill that you're hearing Senator Pat Roberts, the chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, talk about repeals cool on all meat and even includes chicken, which wasn't even in the original bill. So this goes back again to, you know, multinational meat packers that have meat packing plants and facilities in more than one country, one to be able to ship product into the U.S. and label it as product of the U.S. and deceiving the consumer. So it's not just what's going to happen now, it's what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years as we begin to import more of our food.
And that, again, is the bill that our California senators have also backed.
Yes, both Senators Boxer and Feinstein have backed a full repeal when there is a better option out there that would maintain the A label, be voluntary, and would be WTO compliant and would avoid retaliation for any California manufacturing products or agriculture goods.
So let's break down the idea of the voluntary labeling a little bit more, if we can. As it stands right now, if we have a producer that does everything in the U.S., they raise their meat here, they process it here, and it's sold here, they can put on their product of the USA label. Is that right?
If there was a program in place at the, for product verified, which right now there is not one, so it's going to really kind of be who gets there first. If a producer who is very interested and wants to make sure that the process verified system says to have product of USA means born, raised, and harvested is put through regulations first, then that will be the label. If the packers, which have a lot more money than most of our farmers and farm groups and producer groups do, get there first and say, and here's a technical term of substantial transformation, meaning if the animal was slaughtered here, that makes it a product of the United States, then we're going to be set back to that deceptive label again. And so the reason we're pushing for the Hove and Stabenow language so much is it puts in law that even if there's a voluntary program, in order to use that product of the USA, it must meet those three criteria. That way we've taken any chances of deceiving the consumer out of the arena.
So we've talked quite a bit about this from a consumer angle, but you know, a large majority of our listeners are producers. So let's look at this from the producer angle, and what does it mean for them if the voluntary labeling was allowed? How would that benefit the producers?
Well, so basically, they will have to pursue, they would have to go through and pursue that label themselves or whoever it is that they are packing with. But it's going to come through consumer demand, which is already there. You know, our U.S. Producers and ranchers and farmers, especially in California and in other states, are very proud of their products. They want to label the product, and we want it to be WTO compliant so that we stop this WTO case. Just think about, let's move off meat for just a minute. I'll tell you, right now sitting in my house are clementines from Morocco because they are labeled, And here within the next 3 to 6 weeks, California's produce will be ready, and the clementines. When I'm sitting in the grocery store, I have an option of buying the ones from Morocco or buying the ones from California, and I'm going to buy the ones from California because I want to support U.S. producers. So it's working just fine for fruits and vegetables, which have, you know, a very complicated production supply chain, just like meat. Why can we not have the same type of information provided to consumers when it says, you know, a Washington apple or a California orange or anything else that you find in the produce section?
Right. And we do have, along those lines, we have a very successful California-grown campaign for our produce.
Exactly. And so, and even under the current cool law, so I was actually on the House Ag Committee in 2008 when we wrote this, the current law that we're operating under. If you have a state-verified program, like just like you said, California grown, that meets all the requirements as basically saying product of the USA. Another example close to you would be Washington apples. You know, if it has a Washington apple on there, that still meets the qualifications of product of USA as well. And so, I mean, we've got so many great programs out there. And tell me the last time you had a consumer say, tell me less about my food. I don't want to know. Please don't give me any more information about it. And really what's even more troubling to us, though, is that it's a third-party international organization that's coming in and saying, we can't tell our consumers this. And that first appellate body, the decision was handed down by a person from Pakistan, the European Union, and Switzerland. Those three countries are the ones who ruled against us, saying that we cannot tell our consumers where their food comes from.
So how quickly is this all going to happen?
Well, with the dispute settlement body meeting on the 18th, they will basically rubber stamp as long as the numbers add up, whatever Canada and Mexico put forward. You could start to see tariffs on products by the end of December, maybe the 1st of January, which is why it's so important that we get this voluntary pool language into the funding bill that needs to pass either this week or next week here in Washington, D.C.
Is there anything at this point that our listeners can do to make their voices heard?
They need to call, especially Congressman Costa, and both of their senators have been the most vocal in doing a full repeal, and tell them they need to support a voluntary program that maintains the integrity of the A label so that consumers can know where their food comes from.
Chandler, is there anything that I should have asked you or any points that I missed that you would like to discuss?
I think it's very important that this is setting a trend. You know, all the multinational meat packers and all of the food processing companies you have in California and all your producers that you have out there and across the United States, consumers are starting to ask more and more about their food. And country of origin labeling is the tip of the iceberg. So it's best that we get this one correct, because the next thing is going to be, you know, what is its water footprint? What is the carbon footprint? What is, I mean, and I'm just picking this up from tidbits of what we're seeing happening in Europe and the kind of questions the consumers are asking there. Usually within 3 to 5 years, those questions make it over to the United States. And so if we're going to start letting the WTO tell us who and what we can and cannot tell our consumers, I think we've got a very rough road ahead of us. You're going to have some very upset consumers, and we're going to have a lot of lawsuits tied up where we're not able to inform our consumers with the information they want. An informed consumer is a good consumer, and that's also good for the U.S. family farmer and rancher.